Okay, yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. Another week, here we are. So, as Joy was just saying, it's mamish almost Rosh Hashanah. It's unbelievable. We have this week, and then Shabbos is already Shabbos Lichus. So it's quite incredible. We're here really at the end, towards the end of the year. And as we saw and we mentioned last week, everything is such Hashgacha Pratis, such divine providence. Here we are just before Yontif, and this is really connected to our Chumash that we are just learning, and it's so connected to the month of Elul and Tishrei. And the idea that we're discussing and the whole concept is the concept of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy, which we began last week to discuss, and we said we're going to continue today much, much more in depth. So now, what you have in front of you in these Hebrew words is something absolutely beautiful and seems not connected to the 13 attributes of mercy, but I'll tell you what it is, just a bit of an introduction. And it's so, so magnificently beautiful. This is a, if you can see on the top, it says in Hebrew, it says Tfila Kaidem HaTfila, which means a prayer before the prayer, written by a very great tzaddik known as Reb Elimelech Milizensk. Reb Elimelech Milizensk was one of the most famous students of the Mezritcher Magid, who was the student of the Baal Shem Tov. Today actually is the Baal Shem Tov's birthday. And Reb Elimelech was one of the greatest righteous men of his generation. It was the same time as the first Chabad Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, whose birthday it is today as well, on Chai Elul. But Reb Elimelech, who himself became a very, very great Rebbe, there's a beautiful story told that it was in his times and people were suffering and life was difficult, as we could imagine, in the late 1700s, early 1800s in Russia. And he had a very fast, there's a very fascinating story told. One of the Hasidim told the story that when he was a young child, he was visiting the Rebbe Elimelech with his father, and he noticed that he was standing with all the great people, and all of a sudden, not only he, but they all noticed that Reb Elimelech was visited by these very exceptionally tall men. Men that nobody had ever seen before. They didn't actually catch a glimpse of their faces. They went in to Reb Elimelech and had a bit of a audience with him. And then when they left, they were so eager to see them, they couldn't catch their faces again. And they realized that something supernatural had happened. So they asked Reb Elimelech what just took place. And Reb Elimelech said that he had been thinking and contemplating about the fact that people are finding it very, very difficult to daven because life is very difficult. They're distracted. We can't focus. Same problem we have now. Externally, life is difficult. Internally, life is difficult. And he decided that perhaps it would be an idea to write an abbreviated version of the davening, which would be something that would be very, very meaningful and something that would be quite emotional and that everybody would relate to. And this would help them, that would be their davening. That he said, who came to visit him? These men that came to visit him were the men from the Anshei Knesset Hagdela, the men of the Great Assembly who had lived thousands of years before, who wrote the actual Nusach, the way we have the Shemayna Esrei, was written by the Anshei Knesset Hagdela, these men of the Great Assembly. They came to visit Reb Elimelech. Why? Because they begged him, he said. They said to him, please do not change our order of davening. We set it out, and this is the way it should remain. Please don't change it. And he said, what should I do? How can I help my people? So they said, we have an idea. Why don't you write a prayer before the prayer? And that will help them, and then they will be able to use our prayer that we wrote. And this is the prayer before the prayer, so to speak, the introductory prayer, which Reb Elimelech wrote. And we'll see why it's connected to our shir today. So if you, it's quite long, and we don't have time. I would love to do it properly, maybe another time, but I'm just going to show you a few of the beautiful lines that he mentions. So here he says, "Kinechel." Why is he want to write? He's asking, okay, so in the prayer, he asks Hashem to help us focus, to help us daven for what's right. And he says like this, And he talks to Hashem. V'ein anu yichaylim la'amayd negda, right? We can't stand against the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, and all the distractions. Why? Ki nechlash sichleinu umaychenu, because our minds are weak, very much, ad ma'ayd. V'kashal kayach ha'sabal mirayv ha'tsarayis v'hatla'ayis v'tirdas hazman. And we don't have endurance because of all the terrible suffering that we're going through, all the terrible things that we experience, and the fact that our time is not our own and we're so busy. And therefore, and look at these words, lochein ata, therefore we're talking to Hashem, keil rachum v'chanun, a God of mercy and compassion. This is the same as what we are talking about, the attributes of mercy. Rebbe Elimelech is addressing Hashem, trying to, so to speak, awaken that aspect of the God of mercy and compassion. And what does he want? And he says, Ase imanu, do for us, k'may shehiftachtanu, as you have promised us, al yidei ne'man beisecha, through your trustworthy of your house, which means through Moshe Rabbeinu. And what did you promise? V'chanoisi es asher achayin, as we read in the psukim, v'richamti es asher arachayin, right, that I will have compassion upon who I have compassion, and I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy. And this is, these words are taken from the introduction of the 13 attributes of mercy. And that's why he says, and then he continues very, very beautifully. And I just want to read you something. I see there's a translation. I wish we were together. I would give you a copy because it's absolutely beautiful. If anybody wants, you can message me. I can make you a copy of it. It's magnificent, beyond. But I want to just show you, he continues with that same theme that is beseeching Hashem as the compassionate, merciful God to give us the strength to daven, to give us the inspiration, to give us the ability to focus, and therefore that we should be able to ask for all of our needs and to ask properly for what we really need, you know, to know what's the right priorities. And then I'll show you something else that also ties very much in to our shir today. This is like a real proper introduction. So he says, let me see. Okay, and here's a very beautiful, I'll just read you in English here. He says, O Father in heaven, aid us in meriting, powerful one, Hashem, full of mercy, to unify our hearts and minds, our speech and our deeds, and all our actions and feelings and emotions, whether we are aware of them or not, as he says, revealed or hidden. May it all be unified for you in truth and sincerity, with no ulterior motive or invalid thoughts. Purify our hearts and sanctify us, and all the different things. Now, I just want to show you, and then he says, safeguard us from ulterior motives, from haughtiness and vanity, from anger, from bearing grudges, sadness, slander, and other bad character traits. Save us from all things that destroy and prevent your pure holy service which is so dear to us. So this Rebbe Elimelech obviously said, it's quite a long, as you can see, but I wanted to show you the last words. And then he says the most beautiful lines. And actually, there is a song in Hebrew, one of the Avram Fried songs, I think, that he used these words. Many people don't even know where he got these words from. But these words are, by some people, they say it every day. Some people might say it once a month or once a year. I guess before Rosh Hashanah is a good time. That's when we're going to be davening. So what is the last thing he asks? He says, and what should we do? Hashem should help us, that we shouldn't have feelings of hatred or jealousy towards others. Rather, he says, Adrabe, on the contrary, tain belibenu, put into our hearts, shenire kol echad, that each and every one of us should see, mailas chaverenu, the greatness of our friends, what is special, what is unique in all the people around us, v'loy chesreinam, and not what is lacking. Ushenedaber kol echad es chaverei, and that when we speak, you know, each person to their friend, b'derech hayosher v'harotzoi lefanecha, in a very straight and in a wanted way, so to speak, in a kind, in a good way, v'al yale shum sina me echad al chaverei chalila, and nobody should have any hatred one man to another. U'sechazek his kashruseinu b'avei lecha, and he should strengthen our connection with love to you, kasher goloi v'yadua lefanecha shehi hakol nachas ruach elecha, which actually means in this context that we should all be a nachas to you, Hashem. These are the beautiful words of Rebbe Elimelech of Lezhensk. As he says, why? Because we are about to daven and we want to arouse the compassion of Hashem. And as you can see here, one of the things that he's putting in, why does he mention that we should be not jealous of each other? We should see the, you know, so to speak, the ma'ila of each other, because that ties into as what we mentioned, and we're going to see it today. The best way to arouse the compassion of Hashem is to find our compassion that we have for each other, to develop, to nurture, to strengthen it. And that's the most, if you want to say, the most powerful, and the way that we mentioned last week from the Rabbeinu Bechaye, the most powerful, and as we saw and we mentioned that we're going to see today from the Ramak, that's like the, if you want to say, that's the switch that we switch on down here, and the light comes from above. And just as he finishes, and if we will do, so what will happen is, Va'al kol zois mischananim anachnu lefanecha, right? So we beseech you, again, the word chanan, right? To beseech and to beg for mercy and compassion. Kel molei rachamim, a God full of mercy. Shetekabel es tfilaseinu birachamim uveratzein. Again, you see the stress that he should accept our tfilos with rachamim, with mercy, and with will. Amen ken yehi ratzein. This is the tefillah before the tefillah, as we say. So, why? Because as we said, the whole idea of Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, these 13 attributes, is that we want Hashem to deal with us with compassion. That's what we want. How do we arrange that, as we said? The best way to arrange it is in a way, if you want to say, it's not a trick, but it's the best method that we were taught, is by us activating our compassion. Okay, so you can see Rebbe Elimelech definitely has that built in so that it shouldn't be forgotten. Now, before we are going to get to the Yud Gimel, not all of them, I'll tell you right now, hopefully three at least, that we can analyze a little bit in depth to know how to apply. But before we get to that, I would like to examine one beautiful idea also on the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, which is based on a sicha of the Rebbe. And this is based on the paragraph that is also connected to the 13 attributes of mercy that many people are not aware. The paragraph that we say during the month of Elul, all the way till Hayshina Rabba, which is the paragraph of LeDavid Hashem Ayri, chapter 27 in Tehillim, which, what is the connection between that and the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim? Well, if you want, you can count up. It says the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of God, 13 times in the chapter 27, corresponding to the 13 attributes of mercy. Again, you see how much we do during the month of Elul to make us aware, A, and even more than that, to activate, so to speak, but we don't even have to activate because we are told that Hashem is definitely doing it, it's there, but we want to tap into it. So in order for us to tap into what is already lit up, like for us to put on the right glasses so that we can become aware and we can see and we can benefit, that's why we do all these different things. So just a very quick, beautiful lesson. So we mentioned, and I'm just going to, oh, you see, 1 minute, I think I've gone. I didn't make one copy, maybe. Ah, yeah, okay, beautiful. I just want to read you two psukim here. LeDavid, this is the part, LeDavid Hashem Ayri, right? This is chapter 27. So we say that LeDavid, David is saying, Hashem is my Ayri, my light, v'yishi, and my salvation. And because of that, mi'ira, whom shall I fear? And then he says, Hashem ma'oiz chayai, Hashem is the strength of my life, mi'mi efchad. Whom shall I dread? Whom shall I fear? Because Hashem is my light and my salvation. Hashem is the strength of my life. I don't fear anybody. I have nothing to fear. But you see the word here, it says the name of Hashem twice in this pasuk. This pasuk already says it twice, Hashem and Hashem. And they correspond to the first two names of Hashem, which are mentioned in the first, in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. And as we said, we mentioned that we're not going to go in depth, but there are different ways of counting those 13 attributes. Some people say that you count the first, the names of God, Hashem, Hashem, but some people say, no, you don't. But that's okay, it doesn't matter whether you count them as the actual attributes or they're just introductory, like declaring whom we are calling out to. They're still part of the whole process. So, let's see how he says here. Very, very beautiful. So we talk here. We say, Beis pa'amim shem havaya, right? Two times the name of Hashem in the pasuk. who, al derech mashakos of Rashi, it's like what we read in Rashi on the pasuk in our Chumash, al beis shemes havaya biyud gimel midas harachamim, achas koidem sheyechte, remember we said one was for before the person sins, achas l'achare sheyechte, and one refers to after the person sins and does tshuva. And we went into length last week, why do we need compassion before you've sinned? We did that last week. But here, let's see what, we'll explain something very beautiful. V'ha'inyin bazeh. Chet yachal liyais mi beis sibais. A person, unfortunately, sins, sometimes motivated by two different reasons. One, yetzahara mefate es ha'adam, la'aveira. Kihi eina aveira, oy bechlali mitzvah. So the Yetzirah comes and he tries to talk us into, you know, and he deceitfully convinces us either that it's not an aveira, it's nothing wrong, you can do it, or he sometimes even tells us it's even a mitzvah, right? We know. He's very smart in how he convinces us. That's one reason why we might make a mistake. But the other reason that we might make a mistake is even if we're aware that it's taka wrong, the second thing, let's see what he says, who yoideya shezohi avera, we know it's a sin, aval eina yochal is gabar ala yetzahara, but what can we do? We're not strong enough, it's too tempting. We can't help it, whether it be too tempting, or whether it be like anger and jealousy, it's just too strong. And we just can't help it, we know it's wrong, but we can't help it. So now David HaMelech tells us that's what the first part of the pasuk is. V'zoyi hakavana havaya oiri v'yishi. What does it mean? Hashem is my light and my salvation. Hakadosh Baruch Hu meyer liyehudi. Hashem lights up for a Jew. Sheyira es ha'emes, that he should be able to see the truth. Mahu toiv u'mahu ra. So we can discern what is good and what is bad. So the Yetzirah can't come in his underhanded way and convince us that something that is truly bad is good. He can't, because we see clearly what is right and what is wrong. That's the first thing. Then what else does Hashem do? Hashem gives us strength to overcome the Yetzirah. And that's why we say, Koidem Sheyechta. These both refer to the name of Havaya before we sin, which means that Hashem prevents us, who she'ene meiniach lo lahagia l'cheit, liyechta, as we say, afal pisha yitzra misgabra lov, even though the Yetzirah is coming strong. And then we come to an even higher one. And this is actually, I think he'll say after, this is, okay, so then he says like this. So that's the first thing. He doesn't let the Yetzirah even talk us into it, or he gives us strength to overcome our Yetzirah, even when it's difficult. But then there's an even, that's the first Havaya. Ula'achar zeh yesh darga gavaya yoyser b'shem Havaya. But then there's an even higher level. Shehi ma'oiz chayai, right? That's when Hashem is the strength of my life. Gam la'acharei sheha'adam nafal. Even after a person actually fell, right? So they succumbed. Yesh la'yes ha'koyach m'shem Havaya. We get the strength from the name of Havaya, a higher name, so to speak, of Havaya, the second one. La'asos tshuva, to actually do tshuva. V'ze mevi oisei loirak l'chai, v'chai bahem, chayai, right? Doesn't just bring us to life, rather, of Torah mitzvahs, rather, what does it bring us to? Ma'oiz chayai, the strength of our life. Sheba al yidei tshuva shalamayla mi Torah mitzvahs, because now we're tapping into tshuva, which is higher than Torah mitzvahs. How do we know it's higher? Because it has the power to change and to transform a sin into a mitzvah, so to speak. It must come from a higher source. It's the place where we can atone, where we can, so to speak, fix up, repair when we don't do a mitzvah. So obviously, tshuva is higher than Torah mitzvahs. So this second name of Hashem is a higher level where Hashem gives us that extra strength to overcome even after we've sinned and do tshuva. And then he says, "V'zeu gam bira shaychas shel pasuk l'David Hashem ayir v'yishi l'chaydesh Elul." That's the connection between this pasuk and the month of Elul. B'shah shemagi chaydesh Elul. So when Elul comes, and we're now really, really, as we say, Chay Elul, Yud Ches, the Chayis, the life of Elul, that's what today is. Today is the day which brings Chayis life into the whole month of Elul. It's an incredibly special day, 12 days before Rosh Hashanah. Every day from now on corresponds to another month. Today we're supposed to be reflecting on what we did last Tishrei. So it's a very special day. And it's a very special month. And now we're in the heart of the month. So we say, when you come to this month, and you obviously are reflecting, so Yehudi Niskar al HaKesher Shalayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Jew reflects upon his connection between him and God. So the Yetzahara comes v'tayin, and he starts to claim, Amnam be'emes ata kosher makadosh baruch hu. Okay, it could be true that you're connected to Hashem. But don't forget, aval ata harei nimtza ba'olam shehu malei klipos. Where are you? You're in a world that's dark. You're in a difficult, challenging world that godliness is not allowed to shine through. Full of klippas, full of negativity. V'yesh, not only that, not only externally is it a world full of negativity. V'yesh l'cha yetzahara shu uman b'mlachtai. You have a yetzahara who's professional at his job. Right? Tailor-made. Each one of us for each one, you know, each person's yetzahara is tailor-made for them. Ubechal oifen, nevertheless, shahu loy tatzliach lahachzik es hakesher shelcha im hakadosh baruch hu b'chaya yayim yayim. It's no question you're not going to succeed in maintaining your connection to Hashem. Why are you even trying? So therefore, what do we answer the Yetzahara? Val ze oinim loy. So what do we answer him as soon as we remember? We say, Hashem oiri v'yishi. Very nice what you're saying, Yetzahara, but Hashem is my light. So he shines a light which helps us see what's right and what's wrong. And Yishin, more than that, he's my salvation. He gives me the strength when you come to me to try at least to overcome you, as we say. And therefore, b'meimimela mimiira, so why should I be afraid of you? But then the Yetzirah, as we said, he's not stupid. So he still tries. And what does he say? Shehavaya ayri v'yishi hu rak ezra mikanu lahaba shalayechte. Well, you're talking about that Hashem is your light and your salvation. That's only referring to the fact that Hashem will help you from now on, right? That you shouldn't sin. But let's not forget. And as we say, when we make a proper accounting and we're honest with ourselves, aval ata harecha tasa, you've already sinned. V'ata kfar avud rachmano letzlan, you're already lost, right? That's the best thing Yetzara says. It's hopeless. It's too late. You're too used to it. V'al ze aynim loy. So that's what we answer the Yetzara, the second part of the pasuk. It's true we've sinned. We've made lots of mistakes. But havaya ma'oiz chayai. Not Hashem is the strength of my life. Mimi efchad, whom shall I fear? I'm not afraid of you. Yetzahara. Loi rak she'ein li pachad mei rechaykim. It's not only that I'm not afraid of the distant sins, the ones I haven't done yet, so to speak. Shemikan ulahaba loi epal, that from now on I will not stumble. Ela ein li pachad me kravim. I'm not even afraid of the close ones. Mechatoim shekvar etzli, the sins that are already by him, as he says. Ki havayim oischai Hashem is the strength of my life. V'hu mainikli es hakoyach lasos tshuva. And Hashem gives me that strength to do tshuva. And we see already here that these are even in the first two names of Hashem. Hashem, Hashem, Kael Rachum V'chanun. So already here we can see a little bit of an insight when we say these words, whether it be now in L'David Hashem Ayri or on Yom Kippur or in Slichas, wherever it is that we're going to be saying them, we can have in mind that this is what it is, that Hashem is there for us to help guide us for the next step, that we should know what to do with our next decision that we have to make or our next reaction. And Hashem gives us the strength to repair whatever we have done in the past, which is a much harder thing. Once a person has soiled, it's obviously much more difficult. Okay, now moving on, because as we said last week, I very much want to see beautiful, beautiful insights from Reb Moshe Cardovero, the Ramak, famous Ramak, beautiful Kabbalist, lived just before, I mean, it really overlapped Arizal. The Arizal only lived 2 years after him, like, so to speak, 2 years more than him. He also didn't live long. The Arizal, I think, lived till 36 or 37. Reb Moshe Cardovero passed away, I think he was 48. Incredible impact. He was a brother-in-law of the author of the Lichadaydi, Reb Shleim Alkabetz Halevi. These are the great, great, great Kabbalists of Tzfas. What did he leave us? He left us tremendous legacy. And one of the things that he left us is, as we mentioned last time, a beautiful sefer called Toimer Devaira. This sefer, even just the first chapter, takes apart the 13 attributes of mercy and tells us how we can apply that, model that in our life. So Just want to show you though. As we did say, and I want to show it to you inside. It's a drop tricky for us because the Torah Devorah chooses to derive his 13 attributes not from the way we say them on at Ne'ilah, which is the one in the Chumash that we read, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Racham, V'chanun, right? The famous Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Rather, from a pasuk in Micha, right? In the prophet Micha. In the prophecy of Micha, there is two psukim or three psukim, and I'll read them to you, and I'll tell you where you know them from. You see Tashlich. We say it when we go to Tashlich. And these are also called the 13 attributes of mercy. They correspond to Moshe Rabbeinu's attributes. Kabbalistically, it is taught to us that these the attributes of Micha are actually higher. In the Kabbalistic terms, there's a concept called Arich Anpin and Ze'er Anpin. Arich Anpin is the, so to speak, the big face, the grand face. Ze'er Anpin is the small face, which means a higher revelation, a lower revelation. But they are the same ones. And you can see in this thing, in this page in front of you, you can see this is from an art scroll Siddur, and it's actually beautiful how they've done it. This is from Tashlich. So this is the quote, direct quote. So it says, Mi Kael Kameicha. And look on the top, the little words. Hashem, Hashem, Kael. So the words Mi Kael Kameicha of Micha correspond to these three words of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim of Moshe Rabbeinu. And according to many opinions, especially the Kabbalists, the first of the Yud Gimel Midas is really Kael. The Hashem Hashem is more introductory. Some opinions say that it's the second Hashem. Some say it's Kael. So anyways, those three go together, and then we'll see what they mean in a minute. Look, Noisei Avain, he bears, so Mikel Kameicha, who is like you, God, right? Noisei Avain, who bears sin. V'ayver al pesha, and he overlooks transgressions. L'sha'eris nachalasei, to his descendants. Lai hechazik l'ad apai, right? He doesn't hold on to his anger. You can see how it corresponds, each one to another one of the ones from Moshe Rabbeinu. And why? Ki chafetz chesed hu, because he very eagerly wants chesed, kindness. Yoshuv yirachameinu, he will return and he will have compassion on us. I mean, mercy. Yichba yishavay neseinu, right? He conquers our sins. V'sashlich b'mtzuleis yom kol chateisam, right? He will throw into the sea all of our sins. That's very connected to tashlich. You see the word tashlich there. Throwing our sins into the sea. Interesting, this year we're going to do Tashlich on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, but according to many opinions, when we say Tashlich, we say these words, many people are not aware, we should have in mind the corresponding 13 attributes. Now that we've seen them, perhaps we'll concentrate a little bit more when we go. We know that people can do Tashlich if they can't do it on Rosh Hashanah. You can go to the ocean anytime until Yom Kippur, anytime between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and do Tashlich. So if you don't have a chance on Yom Tov, don't worry, you can go after, take a siddur, take a machzer, or take it from the web, and it's a very beautiful idea to do tashlich. But I want to show you now, because what we're going to do is, we're going to see how he explains all these magnificent midai, some of them. Okay, now, this one we're only going to look in short. This is his introduction, the introduction to his Sefer Tomer Devaira. And as I mentioned last week, in his introduction, he teaches us, he shows us that the way to, so to speak, evoke, if you want to say, the way to activate these 13 attributes is by us modeling them. That's the best way to do it. And I'll show you the words that he uses. He uses very powerful words. So he says, this one I'll do just in English. The other ones we'll do also in Hebrew, because this is the introduction. So he says, it is proper for a person to resemble his creator, right? We've learned that many, many times, that we are meant to model ourselves on the ways of Hashem. And then he will be in the secret of the supernal form, right? If we model ourselves, we elevate ourselves, we refine ourselves, and we actually look like what we are meant to look like, which is an image of God, because man is created in the image of God. And then we say, as he says, in image and likeness. For if a person resembles Hashem through his physical body, but not through his deeds, he disparages the form. It will be said of him, the form is nice, but the deeds are ugly. The main part of the supernal image and likeness are his deeds. Now, obviously, Hashem doesn't have a physical body. So what does it mean that we look like him in form? So we are told that just like the head is on top and the feet are on the bottom, and that we have a left and a right, and most people's right is stronger, and Hashem. So this, everything corresponds to the way the physical, everything in the spiritual realm corresponds. The truth is, it's the other way around. Why are things the way they are in the physical realm? Because they are derived from that spiritual counterpart, so to speak. We obviously relate from the physical to the spiritual, but in reality, the origin is in the spiritual, and then it comes down into the physical. So we say that a person must obviously emulate Hashem in his deeds. And that's why, as he says, therefore it is proper to resemble the deeds of the crown, which are the 13 attributes of divine mercy, hinted to in the pasuk that we just saw, who Hashem is like you, he bears sin and removes iniquity to the remnant of his inheritance. He does not maintain his anger forever, for he desires kindness. After tshuva, he will have mercy on us. He suppresses our sins. These are all the psukim from Micha that are the 13, and he divides them in his book, and we'll see some of them. May you cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Give truth to Yaakov, kindness to Avram, as you swore to our forefathers from days past. So these are the 13 attributes of Micha. Doesn't look like it. It's hard. We have to obviously use the commentaries to tell us where we divide them, how they work into 13. But we are told it's not only the Ramak, it's not only the Talmud Dvorah that tells us how, but he's one of the big sources that we use. So now he's going to show. So let's start with number one. Let's see something I think that's absolutely beautiful to get an idea. And it's almost, to us, it might seem like quite challenging. But as we said, and this is a very important thing as part of his introduction, we have to remember that whatever Hashem asks of us, we can do. Right? Hashem doesn't ask, but we can't do. Because some of these things seem supernatural. And the truth is, we are told they are. And I just want to tell you something beautiful, and then we're going to go inside here. It says like this, that when Leah had her first son, his name was Reuven. We know that originally Leah was Yaakov's wife. Originally, she was destined, maybe, to be the wife of Esav, right? Leah always had in her this like almost fear of anything resembling Esav. When she gave birth to her first son, Reuven, she named him Reuven. Most of us know the name as meaning Reu, right? To see. Like she, you can see Reuven. But what is, the Gemara tells us something very magnificent about the name Reuven. Reuven, he says, comes from the words Reu Bain. See, look and discern between. Between what? What is she comparing? So the Mefarshim tell us that Leah was saying, look at my son as compared to his uncle Esav. Why is she even comparing him to his uncle Esav? Esav was the firstborn, right? He came out before Yaakov, of Yitzchak and Rivka. Now, Reuven is the firstborn of Yaakov, right? She says, that's where the similarities end. You want to see the difference? She says, look what happened. Yaakov, however you want to explain it, he took away deceitfully, whatever it is. But he became the firstborn, as we know, right? He bought the birthright off Esav. And from then, and he got the brachas from Yitzchak. From then on, Esav hated Yaakov with a passion, to the point that his whole life, all he was doing, his whole purpose became to destroy Yaakov. And not only in his lifetime, but till today. Till today, we are suffering from the hatred of Esav, right? That's what we say. This hatred took hold of him. If we analyze it in truth, we can relate to that a little bit, because naturally speaking, when somebody takes away something that you believe is rightfully yours, it's extremely difficult not to be resentful. And in the natural course of the way Hashem created us, that's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be resentful. So what Esav is doing, even though we look at it as bad, it's actually normal. It's normal behavior. But Leah says, look at my son. My son is Reuven. What happened with Reuven? You remember the story? He switched the beds. That's a whole different story. Bottom line is, Yaakov got upset. And what did Yaakov say? You were supposed to be the firstborn. You are my firstborn. Therefore, you should get all the rights of the firstborn. But you are not going to get the rights of the firstborn. Where are they going? I'm transferring them to Yosef. Yosef is going to have my status of firstborn. And we see throughout that Yosef is very, very, very connected to Yaakov, has a special beloved place in Yaakov's heart. More than that, Yosef gets a double portion because Menashe and Ephraim, his two sons, become like the rest of the Shvatim. Who gets a double portion? Usually the oldest, right? The Bechar. It should have been Reuven's lot. It became Yosef's. And yet, if you look at Reuven and how he treated Yosef, it is the polar opposite to what Esav did. We know what happened when the brothers, when Yosef came to the brothers, and they decided it was a good time to get rid of him, right? So they wanted to kill him. What does Reuven do? He could have stood to the side. He didn't have to do anything actively. He could have said, woof, finally, I'm going to be finished with him, and now maybe I'll get what's rightfully mine. No, he steps in and he begs them, don't kill him, throw him in the pit, because in his mind he was planning on coming back and saving Yosef. Then what happens? We know he went off. He comes back, Yosef is gone, and he's absolutely devastated. And it says that Reuven sat with sackcloth and ashes his whole life doing tshuva for his thing of moving the beds, but also he was devastated for what happened to Yosef. Why is he so devastated? In a sense, he should be thrilled. Because that's what Leah's saying, Reuven. What does this mean? This is the capacity that we all have as Jewish people. We don't live our lives naturally. Not only don't we live our lives naturally physically, like our existence is supernatural, but what we sometimes forget, like we look at the land of Israel, right? We look at the country, we say, wow, it's supernatural. We know every minute that we're there, it's supernatural. The world doesn't want us there. Every minute is a miracle, and we're ready to admit that. But sometimes what we are not ready to admit is that we can therefore also live supernaturally. What does that mean? That we can go beyond what we might even expect from ourselves and what is naturally expected from ourselves. Okay, so let's see how in the first one. So that's just an introduction, but again, we can do it. It's not easy. Nobody's going to say it's easy, but it's very, very, very doable. Doable with hard work. And again, to remember just, well, I'm sorry, I'm giving lots of it, but a very important thing, because I just want to mention, because I don't want to, chas v'shalom, leave it like with this thought. Because we said that we want to activate almost, like when we do this, then Hashem will treat us with compassion, right? The way we do, Hashem will do. But we have to also realize that two things. That's the idea of compassion. Compassion is where you're given something even if you don't deserve. So we have to feel secure in a sense that Hashem will treat us with compassion even when we don't live up to these great, you know, these great midas that we're going to learn about. But we still want to aspire to them. So we shouldn't think after, you know, when we come out of Rosh Hashanah and we say, oy vavoy, I haven't even achieved a drop of this. Well, then that's it. My destiny is doomed, so to speak. I'm not going to have a good year, chas v'shalom. No, that's not the way it is, because Hashem treats us with compassion, which means undeserving. But the other thing also is that even though we are learning how these things apply, so to speak, we have to remember that in Hashem, they're obviously much, much greater, because we can't begin to understand the greatness of Hashem, obviously. We can only understand a minute, minute part. Therefore, why is that important? A, it makes us realize who we are. I mean, we're really little nobodies in a way. But on the flip side, what that means is that what we receive from Hashem is so much greater. The capacity that Hashem has is way beyond. So when we learn this, and if we feel a little bit discouraged, we should try and remember all the different things about the fact that we can reflect that, wow, if this is what Hashem wants from us, then He has a much greater capacity that will give us a certain sense of security of how safe we really are. So let's see, first one. Mikel Kameicha. So I just want to tell you, Mikel Kameicha, as we saw, corresponds to Hashem, Hashem, Kel, right? Those first three words of the Yud Gimel Midas that we say on Yom Kippur, the ones of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean? So here we'll read a little bit inside. So here he says, he explains like this. What is this showing? He says, this shows us about Hashem that He is Melech. And it's a very interesting word, Melech Ne'elav. What is Melech Ne'elav? Melech Ne'elav means a God who bears insult. Okay, Olvin means to insult somebody. So he bears, he allows himself, and he contains if somebody insults him. Mashallah Yechileu Rayon, like beyond something we can ever imagine. Melech Ne'elav, Soivil Elben, right? So he bears and he endures insult. How? How do we see that Hashem endures insult? So he says, Hare ein davar nistar mehashgachasai b'li safik. Right? We know. Nothing is hidden from Hashem. Hashem is aware of everything. Right? Always. V'aid ein rega shelo yiyeh adam nizun u'miskayim mikayach elyoin hashayfeya alav. There isn't one moment that a person is not dependent upon and he's not nurtured by the godly energy, right? That's how we're alive. We're only alive because Hashem, so to speak, energy is flowing and he's sustaining us and making us alive, right? Those two things. Hashem knows what we're doing and Hashem is the one that's constantly keeping us alive. So if you think about that, Hare timtza shame oilam loichata adam negdai shelo yiyehu ba'oisai harega mamish shayfeya shefa kiyumai utnuas evarav. So I know it's the middle of the sentence, but I know for Leah it's nice to see the whole thing, but for most of us, they don't necessarily can't necessarily translate. So we say that for like always, it's like we could say like it's forever that a person has sinned in front of Hashem, right? He's doing something that Hashem doesn't want him to do. And at that actual moment that he is going against what Hashem wants, what's happening? Who's making him alive? Who's sustaining him? It's from Hashem. Hashem is like giving him his existence and making his body able to move. And not only is Hashem sustaining him, but what energy is he using to rebel against Hashem? That energy that Hashem is giving him at that moment, right? And continues to give him even while he's doing exactly the opposite of what Hashem wants. He says, Hashem doesn't hold back from him. Right? We know we're alive. So obviously Hashem didn't hold back our life. Ela soivel HaKadosh Baruch Hu el bain kazeh. Hashem literally, he so to speak, endures. It's amazing. He's able to endure this type of an insult that somebody is doing to him, where he's giving him their life. At that moment, he's making them healthy. He's making them alive. He's making them exist totally. And then that's with that energy, you use that literally to spit right back in Hashem's face at that moment. So he says, what does this mean? And then he says, you can't, maybe you'll say, oh, Hashem can't destroy you, or Hashem, obviously, we know that that's not true. He doesn't have to destroy us. He just has to stop saying our, you know, as we say in it explains beautifully, the Baal Shem Tov says, it's actually a pasuk in Tehillim, La'olam Hashem Dvar Chanitza Vashemayim. That Hashem is constantly creating the world, right? How? By speech. What does that mean? It means that Hashem has to say, for example, he has to say my name, and that's how I'm alive. So all Hashem has to do is stop saying my name, and I cease to exist. Not that I die, I totally cease to exist. I literally disappear. So in other words, the fact that we are here is we are constantly being activated by Hashem. Hashem has to want us to be here. Hashem has to literally, in a sense, I mean, Hashem doesn't put effort, but Hashem has to willingly be giving us that chayis. So that's what this means. What does this midah mean for us? And this is quite incredible. V'hainu aimre mikel kamaycha. Who is like you, God? Ata bal chesed hameitiv. You, who is like the kindest, the master of kindness, who does good. El baal koyach linkoim v'le'esayf es shalcha. V'im kol zeh ata soyvel v'nelov ad yoshuv b'tshuva. Even though the person is using that energy, he still endures, he still has patience, and he still waits until the person will do tshuva. We're going to discuss, it's going to get a bit deeper in the next one, but just to understand, as he says, what does that mean for us? Harezu midah shetzarech adam lisnaigba. This is the midah that a person has to act. What? Ritzoini. Let's see what he says. Hasavlanus. Okay, so it doesn't just mean patience. Over here, we're talking about a much deeper kind of a patience. We're talking about, and this is such a, it's really hard, but he says, literal endurance and patience, as he says, to the degree, v'chein, heyoisai ne'elav, afilu l'madrega zu, v'im kolzela yesef taivasai min amakabel, which means, you are kind to somebody else. You give them something. What do they do with that thing that you're giving them? They use the actual thing that you are giving them to harm you. They're using that thing. And here we say, be patient, endure it, and continue to give it. This is the way we model the first of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kael, or Mi Kael Kameicha. So a person is doing something literally, straight out, hurting us. Not stam hurting us, but hurting us with the very thing that we are giving them. And yet we continue to give it to them. We wait patiently, we endure, and we just hope that they will come to their senses, so to speak. This is what Hashem does constantly for us, and this is what we are meant to model. That's the first of the 13. Okay. So, and when we do this, as we say, we activate this level of compassion from Hashem. I hope to do at least two more. Now we're going to get to even more than that, if that wasn't enough. Now, okay, see here, it's nice in English. This is a very beautiful book, actually. This Sefer of the Tamer Devira is it's a book that I had, I'm not sure who gave it. Somebody very kind gave it to the library. It looks like, maybe you can see it here. It looks like that. It's a very beautiful book. And he has the whole thing here and with a beautiful, beautiful English translation as well. But let's see here the second one. Noisei Oven. Noisei Oven, as we say, he bears sin. And this corresponds to Rachum, right? Depending on how you count it, but it's the Midah of Rachum, we call it. What is Rachum? Sorry, I just want to see one thing here. Yeah, okay, Rachum. Rachum, as we say, we might use the word mercy. Okay, what does this mean? So he says, this is even greater than the first one. Harei ze gadol me'akoidem. Why? Sharei lo yasa ha'adam ava in shalo yivra mashchis. This is a very interesting thing. Whenever we do a sin, we know we're taught that when we're little. When you do a sin, right, you create a destructive angel. You know how we say when you do a mitzvah, you create a good angel. When you do an aveira, you create a destructive angel. What that means is that we are bringing a destructive energy into the world. There's no question. For every destructive thing we do, we bring more negative energy into the world. And an angel means it has some kind of form, it has some kind of power. Now, he says, as he quotes from Pirkei Avos, "Aivra avera achas kaina loy kategor echad." Right, you acquire for yourself a kategor, somebody who's against you. Right, so a prosecutor. Okay, v'hare oisai kategor oimed lefnei hakadosh baruch hu va'omer. So what does this prosecutor do? He comes to Hashem, this angel, and he says, "Ploini asani. This so and so has made me." The ain bria miskayemes ba'ilam ella b'shifay shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing can exist in this world without some kind of energy from Hashem. As we know, we said Hashem has to constantly be creating it. So he says, v'harei ha-mashchis hazeh oimed lefonav u'bama miskayem. So this destructive angel is coming to Hashem and saying, what's going to sustain me? What's going to make me able to continue to be, so to speak, alive? So there's two ways, right, that it can continue to be alive. Very interesting. He says, hadin naisein. So what, rightfully, what should Hashem say? Hashem should say, eini zon mashchisim. I don't sustain negative forces. I didn't want you here to begin with. It wasn't me who created you. It was the person who went against what I said, right? He defied what I said, and that's how you came into being. So therefore, yelech etzel mishaso, go to the person who created you, v'yisparnes mimenu, and let him sustain you. And unfortunately, what that means spiritually is that the person should die. Why? Or be very much in suffering. Because the energy that the person has should be transferred to this negative force that you just created. Because you've created it, so now you have to sustain it. So Hashem should say, go to that person and claim what you need from him. Claim your life force from him. And now he has power and he can do whatever he likes to the person. And this makes sense because this person created this negative energy in total defiance of Hashem. But what happens? And as he says, what would have happened? V'hoya ha-mashchis yoyred miyad. And the mashchis, this negative, terrible angel, would go down. And what would he do? V'noytel nishmasay. And would take away the neshama. Or karasay, or cause him kares. Right? Cut him off spiritually. Or give him a punishment, whatever he deserves. Until this negative energy take disappears, so to speak. Because he doesn't have any more need in this world. He's already gotten his sustenance. But what does Hashem do? He doesn't do that. He literally carries and he endures the sin. Just like he sustains the whole world, he actually sustains this negative energy until one of three things will happen. Either the sinner will do tshuva, and when the sinner does tshuva, then the negative energy, as we've said many times, becomes transformed to positive, right? So he's gone. Well, that's fantastic. That's the ideal way. Or, unfortunately, sometimes with suffering. Or, unfortunately, as they say, or death. Or maybe the person has to go to Gehenna, whatever it is. And over there, the mashchi, then he pays back and then he's gone, right? Okay, so I want to just show you. This is what we have to have. What does that mean? This is a really great patience. That you should actually sustain a negative creation, so to speak, that the sinner has created until he does tshuva, which means a person has to learn. You should be able to bear, so to speak, the yoke of your friend and all of his negativity, everything, all the negative things, and that he does. Right, to the point where it's still existing, he's still sinning against you. But when do you endure until? Until the person themselves wakes up finally one morning and realizes that they're doing the wrong thing and they try to fix it up. Or perhaps it disappears on its own. This is a very difficult, difficult midah. This, as we say, in many people explain this very interesting thing that the person has to, it's very interesting. It's like he's patient with the offender until he repairs the damage. You know, it's like you have patience while the damage exists, but you even continue to sustain them and you control your anger, you bear the damage until they actually repair it. This is a very difficult one. And if we think this is hard, let's see the next one. Then the Ramak tells us, the Yibishter tells us, there's more. It's not enough. You got to improve. You've got to be so compassionate. You have to dig so deep into yourself to have the ability to oiver al pesha. What is oiver al pesha? So literally the translation of oiver al pesha. I just want to see one thing. It was a very good example. Oh yeah, so it explains a very beautiful thing that sometimes what happens is that how does a person actually do tshuva? You know, in the previous one, Hashem endures until they actually correct their ways. So sometimes what a person can do, and it's brought in the Gemara, is that a person, this is talking about the person Nebuch that's done wrong, right? So he cries, right? That's one way that we do tshuva, is that when we really feel the pain that we've caused, so to speak, and we burst out with tears. And in the Gemara, it gives a few examples of people who cried such deep tears. And then one example specifically of a man, Rebbe Lazar ben Derdai, he actually died in his crying, so to speak. His crying was so, so deep, so sincere, and he was so remorseful. But we say that when we cry, there's a very beautiful language that's actually used in a different sefer of the Ramak, a different Kabbalistic sefer. And he says that what happens is that our tears are like the, so to speak, the lower, if you want to say, like the switch down here. And what it does is it activates the higher waters. Our water, the tears from our eyes, activate the higher water. And what Hashem does is he pours down cleansing waters from above and it washes away any of the negativity. So here we see something very beautiful, and this will tie into our third one. Because not only do we have, you know, do we sustain the person while he's throwing it in our face, not only do we continue to do that, right? He's not fixing himself. He continues time and time again, making the same exact thing against us, right? Hurting us. And this could be any range of things, as we understand, whether it be insulting us publicly, whether it be ingratitude, whatever it is. And we know, unfortunately, we know everybody has been recipients of certain things like that. And yet you continue to give, you continue to show the person a face full of compassion. So here we come to the third one. Oiver al pesha, he removes iniquity. Now, this is interesting. This one, as we say, corresponds to, says, Hashem Hashem kel racham v'chanun. Chanun is, as we usually translate, chayin is like, well, sometimes grace, but it's like real compassion. Okay, that's what chanun is. So he says, zumida gedayla. Why? Sharei ein ha-mechila al yedei shaliach. When you forgive, as we say, removes iniquity, you don't do it through a messenger. When somebody has hurt you very, very badly, a lot of times we say, okay, I'll still give him what he needs, right? Because I have compassion. You might even in your mind rationalize and say, nebach, they can't help themselves. But usually you can't face that person. Face to face, you can't come. That's too hard. You can indirectly find a way of still giving them what they need. Here we say that this forgiveness that Hashem gives to us is not through a messenger. Ella al yodoy mamish shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather it's direct from Hashem. As we say, ki imcha haslicha, that in you is the forgiveness, in you is the atonement. Mahi haslicha, shehu roichei ta'aven, Hashem actually cleanses and washes away the sin. Im rochatz Hashem es tzayas b'nois tzian, it's a very strong language. Hashem literally washes away the dirt, you know, the filth of B'nois Tzion, as we say. And that's why it says also in Yecheskel, V'zarakti aleichem mayim tahayim, right? Hashem will pour upon us pure waters, which means Oiver al pesha is shayleach mimei rechitza. Hashem literally throws waters, washing waters, and he reichet, and then what happens? The actual transgression gets washed away, gets wiped away, gets cleansed away. And this is what we are meant to emulate. V'hine, mamish kidmus zet tzarech liyaisa adam. Exactly in this image a person has to be. That a person shouldn't say, v'chi ani misakein ma shepleini chatoi hishchis. I'm going to go fix up what the person did wrong. Never mind that I'm taking all the insult that he does even after all the good I've done to him. Never mind that I continue to sustain him. I continue to give him what he needs, even though he keeps throwing it back in my face and using that exact thing to hurt me. Never mind that I do it, you know, I consistently keep on doing it for months and years. Even more than that, we say that what do? We fix up the mistakes that they make. They leave a trail of destruction, as we know sometimes. We don't send somebody else, but we ourselves actually fix it up. As he says, Sharei Adam Chayta HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmai Shalei Al Yedei Shaliach Misakein Es Muvaisav, right? So Hashem himself, not through a shliach, fixes the sin V'roichet Tzayas Avaynei, and washes away the filth of the sin. U'mikan, and then another beautiful thing, Yisbayei Sha'adam Loshav Lachtai. Hopefully, we might actually be a little bit ashamed to continue to sin, because if we know that if the king himself, Sharei HaMelech Ba'atzmai Reichet Lichluch B'godav, is going to be the one to wash our laundry, perhaps we'll be a little bit more careful with our clothing that we shouldn't stain it. On a simple level, an example, like just to show us how we can relate, the book, they give a very cute example. They say, like, if let's say a woman has her child there, she's baking a cake for Shabbos, and you know the batter is there on the counter, and it's not a little, it's not a two-year-old, it's a 8-year-old, a child that you expect knows better. And what does the child do when the mother turns around, goes to lick the batter while the cake, you know, she's not ready for him to do that yet, and by mistake knocks over the whole bowl and all the batter goes flying everywhere. Well, the child feels quite bad. They made such a massive mess, but more than just a massive mess. Now the mother has to start from the beginning again to make the cake all over again. The child can say, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. That's very nice. But who has to make the cake again? Here, the mother will make the cake again. And this is what we're saying that Hashem does. not only does he endure, not only does he consistently pay back, but even the messes that we make, you know, and the cake is nothing, but we know in life people make big messes, whatever. I don't want to give examples because I don't know what's personal for people, but we know we have been hurt by people, or we have hurt unfortunately, or we have made mistakes. And sometimes the mistakes can be, whether it be financial mistakes or emotional mistakes, and then somebody is willing to pick up the pieces for us. That's incredible. The same person who was giving us to begin with, and we used that in the wrong way, even after they warned us not to, and they taught us not to, and yet we still do it. And then they're willing to pick up the pieces. That's tremendous. But this is what we say. This is what the Ramak tells us. This is what we're meant to do. The Ayver Al Pesha. We're trying to aspire. Aspire to being that kind of person that overlooks, endures, doesn't take it personally, but even more than that, continues to sustain, continues to give, and continues to treat with compassion and even fix up all the mess that the other person has left behind. Okay, it is late, and I know there is so much more. There is a lot more, actually, because we've only done 3, and there's 13, as we know. But...